Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive. It is full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Help us, God, by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, bring us into all truth. Help us to comprehend your word so that we can use it for every part of our lives. Because the entrance of your word brings light. So we ask for that light, that revelation knowledge that doesn't come from just one another or from this earthly realm. Revelation knowledge from heaven, reveal from heaven, bring the curtain back so we can see what's really going on. Wisdom, God, that only comes from you, not this earthly wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from you. And understanding, you said, in all our getting, get understanding. And Father, we will give you the glory for the victory that comes because of your word being planted into our lives. It changes us. And so we decree that change being done now. And we cancel the assignment of the enemy. Though he comes immediately to steal this word, we're not ignorant of his devices, his vices or devices. So we cancel him. And your assignment, Lucifer, Satan, you adversary, is canceled off these people today. This word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. We decree it and call it done. In Jesus' name we said it and it's done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I am a doer. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I do what the word says, as well as believe it, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call that done. Amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Let's go in our Bibles, please, to St. John 11 once again. We're going to visit the Lazarus house one more time and find out how Jesus used his faith to raise. Did you believe that God still raised people from the dead? Or did that one shot with Lazarus, was that the only thing that could happen? If God can raise people from the dead, I believe he can heal them. I believe so. If he can raise them from the dead, I believe he's a healer. Say amen to that. So let's go to St. John chapter 11. Now, the Bible also says, while you're going there, let me share a couple of quick things with you. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews to come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly to the throne of grace. Now, to the unbeliever, that throne of grace becomes a throne of judgment. Every non-believer, every person that rejects our Jesus, have to go through what is called the white throne judgment. It's in your Bible. It's been there all this time. In that judgment, you either will go one way or the other, but believers in Jesus don't have to go through that. Our works will be judged, and we will be rewarded or awarded based on our works. That's why you should get busy with the things of God. Not that you work your way to heaven, because once, well, see, that work is, well, let me say it this way, not that you work your way to heaven, because the work is already done. If you got to work your way to heaven, then what was Jesus doing? Jesus is the one that put in all the work so that you could be a worker in the kingdom. He made us qualified to be able to work in the kingdom. Now, let me say this to you. It is a great opportunity. It is a privilege to be able to work with the Lord. There's nobody on this planet that has ever worked for the Lord. We work with the Lord. What does that mean? It's sort of like my son when I used to cut grass and he was about 4 or 5 years old. Maybe he was 3 or 4. I'd be out there with the lawnmower, sweating, pushing that thing. We got a lot of grass. I'm telling you, I was pushing that thing and pushing that thing, and he saw me, and he'd get out his little plastic lawnmower. And he started pushing it. Look, Dad, I'm helping. He ain't cutting nothing. But it did feel good to have somebody out there with me. And that's the same thing with the Lord. You aren't really doing anything God couldn't have done by somebody else. What you're doing, God has blessed you to do, and you should see it as a great opportunity, a great privilege to be able to do what we do in the kingdom. Did you hear what I just said? But sometimes we act like we're God's gift to heaven. And so, you know, if it wasn't for me, the kingdom would not be operating. Baloney. I found that out after 6.5 years of going through hell and everything kept going. It's like, you need to be thankful that you were able to be a part of this and to start the ministry. Yeah, wonderful. But we should thank God for our opportunities to be able to do what we do. So we should come boldly to the throne of grace in faith. We come even when we're in need. Watch this now. Hebrews chapter, well, I won't go there. Let me just quote this. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because of the fact that we should be able to trust God in the time of need. In the time of need. When we have a need, that's not a time to go away from the Lord. The Bible says there is help in the sanctuary. So when you need help, this is not the place to avoid. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew chapter 10. Come unto me. Don't avoid me. You feel like you're stressed out? You need to come to the Lord. You need to come to church. And I mean, come in the church. All this virtual stuff. You need to thank God when you know, if you... you know, strung all up in traction in the hospital, it's good to go online. Okay? But if you can make it to the house, you need to get to the house. There's help in the sanctuary. Not help as you drive by it. Y'all get that on the way home. Now, it also says that the prayer of faith, now this is James chapter 5, verse 15. You can go ahead and put that up. I'm just giving you some principles here. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, meaning they will be healed. You are not supposed to be sick as a believer. I didn't say you won't ever get sick, because the enemy is the enemy. So he's going to try his best to put sickness on you. But you have to understand that is not for your address. And you need to return to sender. That package of sickness just came to the wrong address. But if you're really silly, you'll accept it and sign for it. Well, how do I sign for it, Pastor? With your mouth. I can't tell you how many times congregation members have come to me and said, the doctor said I got so-and-so. Doctors are wonderful. Thank God for them. Thank God for physicians. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about... there are many doctorates you can have, but I'm talking about a physician. They're wonderful. But they, by their nature of their name, they only know the physical. Physician. Physical. But you are not just physical. In fact, your physical body, you're going to leave it here. You ain't taking this with you. You wash this thing, you bathe this thing, you perfume this thing, or cologne this thing, you shave this thing. Lord, help us today. All this stuff you got to do for this stupid thing you in. God says, enough of that. When you're gone, you ain't getting one of these things no more. Amen. And in case you were wondering, there are no male or female in heaven. All of that stuff will be removed. So you ain't going to have to worry about them problems. But the Bible says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Well, Pastor, you don't believe in sickness? We're talking about the sick. Of course I believe there's sick people. The Bible says there's sick people. That's what he's talking about. And this is a book to Christians. So you can't say, well, if I'm a Christian, I shouldn't get sick. Baloney. You need to take your vitamins, you know, drink your orange juice, eat your total cereal, drink your water like everybody else. You just can't forget all that stuff just because I got born again last week. Yeah, your spirit did, but your flesh is still the same flesh that you had. You're a three-part person. You still think the same. That's why you have to come and receive the word of God to renew your mind, because you're still thinking stupid. Until you hear enough of this that convince you from what you were thinking that it wasn't right. Now I can think something different. The prayer of faith. If there's a prayer of faith, there's got to be a prayer of fear. Deductive reasoning. But the prayer of faith will save the sick. What will the prayer of fear do? First of all, God doesn't hear that prayer, because his word doesn't bring fear. Perfect love drives out fear. God is love. So how can you get fear from God? Now, there should be reverence, and it shouldn't go to the reverend. The reverence need to go to God. Because Reverend Dr. Salso and everybody else need Jesus. No disrespect for called men of God and their calling, but we are just people with an anointing on us. Okay, so the prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of faith will, put it in the King James Version. I like that word better. And the prayer of faith shall. You can't get around that one. It shall save the sick. Either you believe this or you don't. There's no fuzziness here. We don't have any gray space. But why is Aunt so-and-so sick right now? Because we need to use more faith, and they need to use more faith, and we need to come against the devil and kick his rear end. So you got to fight like your life means it. I mean, you know, it means your life, because it does. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. A faith fight is a good fight because you always win. Well, why do people die? Because of the curse. If Adam and Eve wouldn't have been so silly in the Garden of Eden to listen to, of all things, a serpent talking, hello, that's a little strange. And even follow what he says, duh. That's why we still die, because we were cursed to die. But then Jesus gave us life, and more abundantly. And that life doesn't begin when you die. It begins when you accept Jesus, who is our life and our length of days. When you accept him. Now, you got to believe all this stuff by faith, because, or else this is a sermonette to you. You just went to church. You just heard something. And Reverend Dr. So-and-so didn't say that. He said, God put that sickness on you. He's probably a very nice guy, but he's nicely wrong. In order for God to put sickness on you, he's got to have some first. As it is in heaven, let it be done here on this earth. As it is in heaven, let it be done here on this earth. I'm giving you a whole lot of scriptures. I'm trying to drive this idiotic stuff out of us. I got it too. It came to me. They told me the same thing. Thank God I didn't believe them. Told me, that's God. He wanted another flower in his garden in heaven. You're just ignorant. You just don't know. God don't have to kill you to have you. He's got you while you're here. And you're supposed to live for him, not live in spite of him. God's trying to get me. Like a bug being chased. So we learn to not accept this. The prayer of faith. Faith is so important that Jesus asked people, where is yours? He said, oh, you have little faith, so you can have a quantity of faith. He says, you have no faith. He said, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. Faith is so important. We're studying faith. It says, and the prayer of faith, if there's a prayer of unbelief, and we've heard it before, people go, oh God, if it's in your will, well, that's obvious, you don't know his will. You don't know his word. If it be your will, would you go ahead and just take a little time out your schedule and heal brother so-and-so? See, we just don't know. I'm not trying to mock anybody. I'm trying to tell you, we just don't know. It is his will. As soon as I said that, the Spirit of the Lord said, go to 1 Peter 2:24. Go to 1 Peter 2:24, please. It is God's will. It was God's will to heal you. That's why you are healed. Now, you have to learn how to say this stuff out of your mouth and not just sit there and look cute during services. Because some of you real good actors. You act like you believe this stuff until you get home. And then all you're talking about is your medicine chest. And we better check that will. And you know you got relatives that are waiting to check the will anyhow. You know what I'm talking about. You got them folks that they ain't caring nothing about what's going on. They don't even believe that anything's going to change. You have to deal with it. 1 Peter 2:24. Let's dissect this. This is some deductive reasoning on this. Who his own self, we're speaking of Jesus, bear our sins in his own body. Jesus used his body for you. Did you get that? That's what he did. He used his body so we don't have to use our body. Ain't no sense in doing something he's already done. Don with his little lawnmower couldn't cut nothing. It was already cut. You with your little worries and think you sacrificing your body by letting sickness take you over, you're not doing anything to help the Lord. He already defeated sickness. Okay, if you don't believe that, do you believe he canceled all your sins when you accept Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? You just convicted yourself if you don't believe what I'm about to say now. Then the same thing happened at the same time with sickness. Now, I'm just talking about faith. I ain't really talking about healing. And the Spirit of God's reminding me now, I got to lay hands on folks today. I need to minister healing. And he's telling me I can do it tonight. So if you need healing, if you got relatives or friends, why don't you bring them to church that needs healing? Why do you just say, well, sister, we've been praying for you to be better. Why don't you bring, they brought them to Jesus. I'm not Jesus, but they brought them to the anointing. Bring some folks with you tonight that's sick, but needs healing, depressed, despondent, suicidal. This is a house for this. We're not afraid of those kind of people. We don't just only want the prim and proper ones with their minds doing well. This is a hospital. This is a help place. This is a place where you're supposed to get help. We're not afraid to deal with people that's got demons even. Bring them demonic acting folk up in here. Bring us some drunkards. Get us some drug addicts that want to get delivered. I'm not trying to steal your purse. I mean, want to get delivered. This is what the church is for. And then we go, well, I thought it was just a club we come to be able to sing some songs and hug each other and shake hands and then go home. No, this is a place where people's lives should change. Who him own self. His own self bore, I like to say bore, but it says bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, the tree is the cross. made up of wood. That we being dead to sins, you once were dead to sins. You were dead because of sin. Sin will kill you. And all of us had to come alive because we were sinners. Some of us are still dabbling with it. But that was your name tag, sinner, E-R. Remember I told you about the E-Rs? If you're an E-R on that, you that's what you do. We were sinners. Now we were sinners, but now we're saved by grace. You're not still a sinner. You're not a sinner. Now, you may sin sometimes, but if you are sinning all the time, I question whether you are a Christian. You can't help yourself. You got to can't help me. I wonder whether you're a Christian or not. I just can't stop fornicating. I just can't stop committing adultery. I just lie all the time. I steal from the company all the time. You need to get saved. You probably had a false conversion. Because when a new heart comes in you, you become a new creature in Christ, you can't do that stuff and feel good about it no more. You can't do that. There's a new nature in you. Well, I'm just man. I just hate everybody. Well, you can't be a Christian either. Now, you can say what you want. You know, I can say I'm a car right now. See this? You want to see my windshields? I can say anything, but that's not who you are, what you are. You can say anything, and people say that. But we have to display what a Christian is like. People want to find out, what are we like? Who him own self bear our sins so we don't have them anymore. If he took them, you don't have them. Once you come to him, he takes your sins. So what we have to do is convince ourselves, I don't need that pornography. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I don't need another fling. And put people around you to stop you. Make, like Dr. Betty Price says all the time, I'm mother in the faith, make rules for yourself. I can hear it right now. You have to make rules for yourself. That's what you got to do. When you make rules for yourself, you're not going to do that. See, we're waiting for God to make rules for us, and then we break them. We read God's rules and we don't keep them. God wants you to make rules for yourself. She training pastors, pastors' wives, in pastors' meetings with us. You need to make rules for yourself. You can't go with that woman just because she came up and said you preach good. You make rules for yourself, pastor. This is the kind of training we heard for years. You make rules for yourself. You can't be taking the church's money. Some listened, some didn't. In his own self, Jesus, his own self, our sins he took and he bore. In his own body. Do we all agree with that? That he did that on the tree? I'm just trying to establish his faith. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. : New statement, continued with the same sentence, same scripture, tied together. By whose stripes you were healed. Now, I'm not an English major. I'm communications, but I'm not English. My wife is the English major in this house. But the last time, about 11th grade, that I checked were, that was considered past tense. So if you were healed, you are healed. If you were, then you are. Because between the R and the word, there's nothing that can take you back. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says, you are healed. Seeing Jesus from afar coming. This is Peter. It's over. Jesus has come. Peter says, you were healed. Going back to Isaiah. In the middle of that, there's no change. So if you were and you are and you are, you were, you are and you were, you are what you are when you are it, you were that, but you're, it, so you're still that. It didn't change between the time that Jesus died and now. So you got to be that bold with it. See, we're not bold enough. We're too mealy-mouthed Christians. We're too soft. People can convince us. We're not really convinced. And I'm telling you what's hurting this society right now. I said it last week. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's this social media. You're hearing from too many people. So when you come up in here, it's hard for you to believe anything because you don't know what to believe because you hear so much stupid stuff. Everybody's got an opinion. I wish we could take these things and have everybody throw them in the ocean. Start all over. Because we got people that are influencing, but not for God. I don't follow no influencers. The only influencer I got is Jesus Christ. That's the only one. The Holy Spirit in that secret place like we learned about. So it says, you were healed. So if you were, then you are. If you were, then you are. If you are, then you is. And if you is, you are. So you have to make that a confession with your own words. Now, I know I'm beating a dead horse. Dead horse. A sick horse. How's that? I'm beating this again and again and again. I'm just using this as an example so that you can take this and say, okay, God says, say to the poor that I am rich. Say it. And some of us in this room, we would never dare say, I'm rich. In fact, you hate rich people. You especially hate the president because he's rich. And you hate all of his cabinet because he's surrounded by rich guys. And you hate anybody that prospers, especially if they're a preacher. Sure got quiet in this Presbyterian church. All of a sudden. We have to get to the point where we like what God likes. 3 John 2, let's go there. Because we have to use our faith for something. If we are going to stay hopeless, we have no hope. Lazarus would still be in the grave if there was no hope. I said Lazarus would still be in the grave. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. There it is again. John is saying this to the believers. I pray, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. How? As your soul prospers. In other words, you start hearing these kinds of things from the word of God, not from me. I'm talking about from the word of God. You need to read this by yourself. Write these scriptures down, go home, and ask God, is this what you're saying? Is this really what you're saying? That I can be healed. That I am healed, and the enemy's trying to make me sick. And you are. Say, I am. Say, thank God that I am healed in Jesus' name. Say, I'm well. I speak those things that be not as though they were. Thank you, God. I'm using my faith. Here's what he says. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your mind, will, and emotion prospers toward the things of God. That's what he's saying. When we start agreeing with what God says in his word, go to Romans 12:2. Go to Romans 12:2. This is important stuff. These are just principles that helps us with our faith. Because sometimes we think like the world, and God doesn't want another group of us to be just like the world. He wants us to live according to what he says. So maybe sickness has attacked you. Maybe you got a report of cancer this week. Cancer, cancel cancer. I said cancel cancer. How do I do that? With your words. Let's look at verse number one. We might as well go to one. We'll run to two. It says, I beseech you, or I search you, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your what? As a living sacrifice. God wants your body as a living sacrifice. Why would he want it sick? He don't want your body sick. Okay, and I'm just using this to teach about faith. He doesn't want you sick. He wants you to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. When I was going through 6.5 years of my life being put on hold because I was poisoned, I wasn't sick. We started our 8:30 service today again that we were having on a regular basis until I was attacked because I was doing most of the services. Then we didn't want our first lady to have to do a lot of those things, and we wanted to be able to concentrate on the main service, so we pulled back. I didn't make those decisions, but this is what the leadership here decided to do. I'm not mad at anybody. But I was doing it 8:30, 10:30, 6:30, Wednesday night, Excellence in Business, Future Aviators, MTS, or Ministry Training School. I wasn't sick. I went into the hospital because I had a challenge with a gallbladder. Duh. You ever heard of gallstones? I had one, but there was more than that in there. But coming out of the hospital was the problem. I was poisoned. And that knocked me out for 6.5 years. Now, going through that, I realized you need your body. I said, you need your body. Now, see, this is a hard saying for a lot of people that, you know, you physically fit, you ready to go, but you wait until you start walking a little funny. You wait until you start getting up and making them sounds like Pastor Shorter, you make. Whoa! Whoa! You realize that your body is important to you. That God needs to use your body. I'm talking about healing. I'm trying to help you with faith. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service to LA Fitness. What's wrong with that statement? You ain't doing this to get buffed up to walk into LA Fitness so everybody can look at you. Look at me. You know, I've been working out. My dues is paying off. No, we're not doing it for that. We do it as a living sacrifice to the Lord. It's a reasonable service. So if God says it's reasonable for us to be able to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, he must want to help us with our bodies. Just using faith in healing as an example of this. So let's go to the second verse. We're almost done, okay? It says, and be not conformed to this world. That's the problem. When we're washed with social media, when we watch all these stupid movies that are out here, some of them are just absolutely crazy. Some of them are lifestyle changing information they want to give to you. When we get washed with the news, washed with the political world, washed with this, washed with that, it's hard to come up in here and say, yeah, Pastor, I got you. Ooh, I believe it just like you preaching it. Because it's different. It's not from the world. And so you have to learn how to live this thing. Because the just is supposed to live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the just shall live by the word of God, not the trends and the opinions of the world. You have to fight that. Not just Pastor Shorter. Do you know I'm not the only one that's got to give an account to God? You got to give an account to God. He's given you a lot. He's given all of us a lot. And we should be ready to do that, ready to say, God, I served you with all my heart. And you know, for the most part, the people I'm looking at in this church right now, you have. But just like Paul, I want to push you a little more. I'm always challenging you. I'm always telling you we can do better. I'm always saying, you're better than that. You can do better than that. Come on, let's go. Until you say, I don't want to hear no more. Then you just stagnate where you are. I'll leave you alone. I won't say nothing. But I assume you come in here to be able to be encouraged in the Lord. Don't be conformed to this world, my translation, but be transformed, that's a movement in your mind, by renewing of your mind, meaning that when you come here, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. As you change your mind to the things of God, I pray that your money is tied to it. You keep that stinking thinking in your head? You don't want to exchange it for the word of God? I pray you stay just like you are, or even go backwards. Maybe it'll get your attention. You keep missing all the promotions. You keep missing all the things, opportunities that God has. They come before you and they're fleeting. I wish above all things that you step it up. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why do I have to do that? That you may prove what is the good. Most of us are living there. The acceptable, that's a little better. And the perfect will. Now that's where we need to be living. Of God. And a lot of us, we're living according to our own will. I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that. Don't tell me to do nothing. Who do you think you are? It's good you're saved. It's acceptable that you come to church every once in a while. But the perfect will of God is to live this thing full tilt. Boogie. We're going. We ain't stopping. Ain't nothing stopping me. I'm so committed. Where people know what your stance is. I don't mean go to work tomorrow and get fired. Talking about Jesus. But I'm saying people know where you are. I love being this. I'm going to close with this. I love being this Christian man. I love it. Because I get to influence people. For God, the creator of the universe. You should love being a Christian. You should love being that employee in the staff meetings. That people know when you get there, they got to stop cussing. No more dirty jokes. Brother so-and-so's here. So we don't want to say nothing because you know he's a Christian and he lived for God. And now let me clean my mouth. I was walking around with one preacher and the Lord told me to put a bar of ivory soap in my pocket. And he got ready to cuss and I pulled out the ivory soap. I said, if you cuss one more time, I'm going to put this bar of soap in your mouth, sucker. Preacher! He was walking to downtown Seattle. I said, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap because you're supposed to be an example. Shut your mouth. It's good you come to church. It's acceptable. You come to Bible study. But the perfect will of God is for you to be so fired up for God until people won't even dare to try to tell you something stupid. Won't be inviting you to no silly things. There's a perfect will that God has for you. It's not the same as what he has for me or for her, for him. And everybody's got a different perfect will of God in their lives. Pursue it. We went to an event yesterday. Bessie Coleman was the first female black pilot in America of any notoriety. She died in her airplane after her second crash. But there's was a story about her being put on stage, and my wife and I were invited to go. And as soon as we walked in there, this woman sat us down, and she came over to me and said, let me buy you a drink. I looked at her and said, I don't drink, okay? I don't just mean a drink. But let me buy you a drink. Oh, I'll buy you whatever you want. What do you want? Juice? You want this? You want that? Me. I said, you can buy my wife one. I am a man of integrity. I don't care if my wife wasn't there. I ain't playing that game. Now, I could have said, well, listen, why don't you buy it? Just buy it and take it to your house. Just give me your address, your phone number, and I'll find out where the drink is at and be able to enjoy the drink. See, this is how some people would operate. No, I can't be conformed to this world. I can't act like the world acts. I am bought with a price. I don't want nothing, especially after being poisoned, that you got for me to drink. Sound like the devil to me. And the old woman, well, and she looked at Kathy like, okay, well. And she just walked off. Turned out she's the director of an entire theater. She's in charge of everybody. See, doesn't matter how high you go. You need to give God the glory in your life and live for God no matter what you do. God bless you to be able to be over something. You need to take Jesus with you. Bring that perfect will of God with you. Did you hear what I said? Use your faith when nobody else wants to use their faith. You use your faith in Jesus' name. You talk for God. You be big about the things of God. No matter what they say, you use your faith. Don't stop believing. Give God honor. Give him praise. Give him glory. He's the one that brought you through. You didn't do it yourself. That's one thing I do know. I didn't bring myself through. God brought me through, but he brought you through too. You don't know where you would have been if it wouldn't have been for the Lord. Okay. The Lord said, I can hear some people thinking. They're saying, what's wrong with a drink? You have to make a decision that your body is not for killing brain cells. Next of all, if you get drunk and start acting a fool like she did, you're a child of God. You're part of the kingdom of God. You're Christ's child. Some people can't even take one drink. Their DNA would take them into alcoholism immediately. You don't need to be encouraging that. And I must be on this because there must be a lush in the room. Somebody must be dealing with this. You say, Pastor, well, is it sin? Jesus had wine. We're going to have some too tonight. It's called grape juice. Welch's. And it's just as anointed as the stuff that anybody else is having. But you need to realize it may not be a sin to you because that's not your perfect will. Whatever. To me, I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of that kind of stuff. But it could be a weight, if not a sin. Could give you a liver problem. You drink enough of it. Your body, Jesus hung on the cross for it to be healed. Why would you do anything to damage it? Just saying. Don't get mad at me. We have a man in this church right now that every time after church, he would go buy a 12-pack and sit at home most of the time, watch football, and drink it until God got a hold of his heart. And he convicted him. No, I didn't. I didn't even know he was drinking. He was coming to church, sit usually over this kind of side over here, about the third row, and we get drunk at home after going to church. Until God got a hold of his heart. And all of a sudden, God started taking that from him because he was getting faith in the Word of God. And faith in the Word of God. And pretty soon he started thinking, hey, I didn't buy my 12-pack. It's been a few weeks. It's been a couple months. It's been 3 months. Oh, it's been a while. I don't need that in order to have fun watching football. There's some things that we can let go of because we're so busy grabbing a hold of faith that God will be pleased with you making that change. Say amen to that. Amen. Come on, stand up. We're talking about faith. We got to make a confession because faith begins with what we say and what we believe. So let's make a confession. Say this with me. Say, God, today I say to you, I'm going the faith way. I'm going toward faith, toward your word. I'm believing your promises. God, if you can do this, concerning healing, you can do it about everything. Help me to identify your word, to know what your word says, so that I can use my faith to believe your promises. God, I promise, as the blessings come to me, I'm giving you the glory for the victory. Help me to move from just the good to the perfect, to the excellent way of living in you. God, in Jesus' name, I want to live that perfect way for you as much as I possibly can. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. Amen. I may have lost you on part of that, but you got most of it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word we've received today. We call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's just thank the Lord for what we did receive today. Amen.